I know that this is important this year that we begin to focus on a time of just really prayer. How many of you know that when we pray, we shouldn't just pray and hope that it would happen or be glad if it did happen, but we want to pray and believe that it will happen, right? And we want to be able to see those results. And so I know that it's evident with all the things that we need to accomplish in this year, we've got to be a church and a people of prayer. And I know for some people, prayer can be boring. Let's just be honest. All right. And the reason that it can be boring is because we were never really taught what it can do. Hello. Don't y'all be quiet on me today. You know, you were all shouting and laughing and carrying on with your families and whatnot yesterday and this week. You can carry on in the house of God too. And it's not the place to be quiet. I mean, he's God of Almighty, good God, great God. He deserves our praise. And so we need to be able to understand all that we can get out of prayer when we go to God and realize what we have access to. And so that's been a lot of where my mind has been some this week of you and I keeping in mind and remembering that when we go to God, it's an exciting time. When we go to God in prayer and ask him of anything, of what is able to be accomplished in our lives. And so I really believe that over the next couple of weeks, I don't know how long, but over the next couple of weeks, we'll probably be doing some preaching and teaching whatnot on prayer, on how are you able to really, because I know some of you have prayed and not gotten from God what you've been praying for. If we'll be honest, there have been some things you've asked God for and you're still waiting. Y'all looking at me like it's not happening. But yeah, thank you. Some honesty in the house this morning. Why? Why is it that some things we pray for and we keep praying for and there's no answer? Mm-hmm. We're going to find out. Is it that God's not listening? Is it that we didn't say it right? Some people pray so eloquently, you know, thou God Almighty, thou'st good and gracious God. They make prayer sound so beautiful. Does God answer their prayer more quickly than a hick like me? Then why is it that there are some things that we labor over so intently? We've been asking God and hoping for a long time for some things. And then there'll be other things that we'll just pray and boom, there it is. I think that was easy. Gee. And so I believe we're going to spend some time there because so many of you and I, you can see how God blesses the church and how he gives this church and places us in abundance, but that needs to flow into your life individually. It's not something that just we experience as a corporate church or because we're favored or because I'm favored. It's something that you and I need to tap into individually. It's one of the things that I'll say this, and I think we'll go into this direction. It's one of the things that Dr. Howe ingrained in me and his church, that it was a house of prayer. And everybody knew it. We would have a little bit of a joke. I might get myself in trouble if Sister Rhea's watching because she often watches. But we had this inside joke, Mom, you know what I'm talking about, where he would, I told it to Cindy yesterday, where he would, what you call, pull a Kenny Howe. Meaning he didn't get to preach very often, especially on Sunday nights. But it was because they were called a house of prayer. And when there were needs within the house, he would make sure that it didn't matter if it didn't fit TV, it didn't matter if they never got to turn the TV lights on, or if it never made it, that wasn't the important. The important part was that this house shall be called a house of prayer. And that if there were needs in the midst of it, he didn't have any problem of being in the middle of a message. Or if he was preaching, he saw you in tears back there, he would stop everything, walk over to that person, and begin to pray and call for the elders of the church to begin to pray and agree. And before you know it, it moved from that person to over here to back there. And awesome things have begun to happen. And the reason was because at the basis of it all, he wanted there to be an undeniable knowing and the people to know that this shall be called a house of prayer. And that when you and I gather together in a place of prayer, that we're going to believe that God is going to hear and answer our prayer. That we're not going to make requests made known to God in vain or just do it out of religious repetition. How many know that we can go to God just out of repetition and not really mean anything and have any power? You know, we'll do it when we gather around a Christmas dinner. We'll do it when we gather around for any family dinner. Lord, bless us for our bodies. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We do it so quickly and so, you know, no power in it, no nothing. We're not expecting anything from it. But every time we go to God, we need to have an expectation that he is going to move in our midst. And I hope you can believe that. So I want to share today a little bit on prayer with you because I think it's important. Because I want you to be able to tap into, some of you have probably seen people that have that pray and you're like, man, I wish I could pray like that. Or you watch people pray and you see how God ministers and moves on them or how God will speak through them. And I want you and I each, I really believe that this is about you and I getting our prayer life set on fire. That we burn with a passion and that you'll begin to see results in your life. Not because I prayed, but because you prayed. There's nothing wrong with getting prayer from the preacher or any other believer in the kingdom of God. But I want you to be able to have the faith and belief when you pray that God's going to move just as much as he will if I pray. Because you're important to him. Amen? That you possess that same power. Amen? And so I believe that's where we're going to go. Is that all right with you today? Because I want you to begin to see some things happening in your life and see some results that will come to pass like never before in your life. And so we're going to go there today. So let me begin this. Why in the world do we pray? We're going to go to the text here in a moment. I believe we're going to use a few. But Cindy, we're going to go to Mark 11 for our main text. Mark 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can go and turn there. I'll get you set up for it. Why do we pray? Why? One of the first things that I'll lay it out for you while we pray is simply because God commands us that we pray. It's not an option. I know a lot of times we can make what we do in church optional, just like we do our worship or anything else. We make our involvement optional, but truly God commands us in his word to pray. He says in Luke 18, he says, men ought to always pray and not faint. He commands us to pray. We need to always pray and not faint. And the reason is because prayer is our authority. Prayer is us as a believer. It's where we get our authority. Hallelujah. He's already given you and I authority over our sickness or our poverty, over every other thing that we're facing. And prayer is the believer's authority. And we have the ability to exercise it through prayer. And so we're gonna look at Mark. I said Mark chapter 11, as I believe where we're gonna begin. But I want you to understand, prayer is more than just our authority, or more than he commands us to pray. What I want you to also understand about prayer, just as we begin sharing this morning, is that prayer is really where we deploy. We're to deploy prayer as sort of an arsenal of spiritual warfare. Prayer is really our ability as people to go to war. You know, like our country will go to war from time to time. This is our ability. This is our means of sort of going to war. Prayer is powerful. All right, it's not something that's just quiet and even mundane. We talked a little bit last week about how God will often choose the mundane things and he'll do something extraordinary with it, right? But prayer is not to be a mundane or boring or quiet thing. But I believe that it comes across that way, and it's when you ask people to pray, it's really the least attended service of all that a church could have. If a church has prayer meeting, it's few, because most of us haven't been taught and given the right instruction of how powerful prayer can really be, of what it adds to your life and what it will bring to your life. And so that's what I want the objective of this time that we share together today and maybe through the next few weeks be, that it starts enlightening you and showing you how powerful it can really be for your life, how it will change your life. You and I don't have to feel alone or feel like we're battling anything alone or facing the same old battles, wondering when some things are going to change. But that prayer is what absolutely changes things. And so before we go into our text in Mark 11, Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, just a few chapters later, he said to his disciples, we preached on out of this very chapter just several months ago. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, the best way for you and I to keep ourselves from falling into temptation of all the things that are not godly is to watch and pray. In other words, pay attention and pray often, right? Am I talking to myself today? Pay attention. How many of you know sometimes you try to get the attention of a kid and it's distracting? You're trying to talk to them and all they're doing is on their phone. You know different. I was sitting around a table yesterday and all of a sudden one of Cindy's kids says, I'm coming in here. Everybody out there is boring. They're all on their phones. And it was all adults sitting around the table with their heads down, and that girl couldn't get nobody's attention. She left the room. That's sort of what God is saying to you. Hey, pay attention and pray. At least you enter into temptation. In other words, you're going to become too weak to be able to deal with or overcome what could come up against you. All right? So if we're not careful, we'll fall into it. So look what the words of Jesus here are in Mark chapter 11. Let's begin in verse 15. There's some good stuff in this. Mark 11, verse 15. And it says, so they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. Then he taught. My. That's important. Then he taught. I have that underlined in mine. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him or kill him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teachings. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whosoever says that this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. That those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That sounds simple, don't it? Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. My. Believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Now, back up to verse 17. And I want to read verse 17. I just want to read a couple of these, but listen to this version. This is important for you. Get this. So it's going to sound a little bit different, but it's important. It's going to make it plain for you. Verse 17, this is what it says in the Message version. Then he taught them, quoting this text, my house was designated a house of prayer for the nations. You've turned it into a handout for thieves. Jesus was matter of fact. This is what he says. Embrace this God life, really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. Mm. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean. Ooh. Starts to open up some other things. In other words, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he's saying, hey, when you come to God in prayer, make sure that as much as you're desiring him to forgive you, that you've forgiven some others. In other words, he's saying it can hinder your ability for your prayers to get to me. Because we often want God to move on our behalf. Lord, help me. Meanwhile, we have bitterness and unforgiveness against people. We haven't let some things go. It can get in the way. So right away, you're starting to see an idea that sometimes our prayers can be hindered and delayed. Because we often want God to do something for us that we're not willing to give someone else. Oh, yes. Amen. Preach it. Right. We'll hold things against other people, but we want God to wipe our slate clean, forgive us, not to bring it up in remembrance. Amen. You've heard me say our families, people that we're surrounded by, our friends, they're good at reminding us of who we used to be. But God is one that won't remind you of who you used to be, then don't be that same person. Stop reminding people what they did. If you have forgiven them, let it go, right? Doesn't Elsa sing that song, let it go, right? The church needs to begin to sing that song. Let it go. It is over. If you have asked God to cover you with his blood and forgive you of every sin that you have committed and the nastiness that sometimes we are, in order to go to God and be effective in prayer, you've also got to let go of what people have done to you that may not have been easy. I'm not saying go back for more. And that's not even what the word says. God's word isn't telling you, oh, forgive them and go back for round 2, 3, 4, 5 and let them keep hurting you and wounding you. No, forgive, and I've learned the gift of goodbye. Meaning you can forgive somebody and still give them the gift of goodbye, April. Meaning it's nice to know you and love you from a distance, and I forgive you, but I just choose not to have you close in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Right? It's not that you haven't forgiven them. It's just that you understand and you've gotten wisdom. Burn me once, right? And you'll not do it again. And so it's not that they're even bad people. Maybe they're just not where you are yet. And so right away we're beginning to see he's reminding you and us that only then, he says, if you have anything against someone, forgive them. He says, only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean. Woo! In other words, make sure that we're releasing other people even before we're saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I forgive them. Thank you, God. So, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, let's begin by acknowledging that we move God through our prayers. You and I move God through our prayers. Our worship is important. I believe praise and worship in church is powerful. We've done lots of teaching on it. It's essential for you and I as a believer. It's just not about singing a couple cute songs. Praise and worship creates an atmosphere that God himself can inhabit. That's why we do it, all right? And so it creates an atmosphere so that then it's easy to pray, right? How many have ever tried to talk to someone and have a conversation with someone when they're like upstairs or in the other end of the house? And you're yelling, right? Growing up, my mom would yell for me, and she would never, she would say, Adam Russell. And I would say, yeah. She wouldn't answer. Because what that meant was I needed to come to her. Am I right, Mother? I hated it. I was like, can't you just yell up? So said I would have to run down the stairs, see what she wanted, oftentimes go back up the stairs, do whatever it was she was asking, go about it. But yet, and the reason was, is it's hard to have a conversation when there's distance between you. Amen? A full conversation. And to have the understanding and to be able to see the visual in people's eye. And it's often like that when it comes to prayer. It's essential that we create an atmosphere that it's easy to communicate. How many of you know, husbands and wives, you know there's a good time to communicate and there's a bad time to communicate with your spouse. Amen. You know how to schmooze someone up before you drop the mother bomb of what really went wrong that day, right? We know how to do that well. We do it with our bosses. People do it with their preacher all the time. They're like, oh, that was a great service. And then they come in for the kill. Like, I just got to tell you. We do it with our spouses. We do it in a lot of ways. And because we know how to create an atmosphere, except we don't want to do that same thing when it comes to God. Get me in and get me out. We're not interested in what the end result might be. We hope that it would be good. We hope that God would answer our prayer. But are we often really willing to dedicate whatever time it might take for us to hear and hear and receive the answer that we desire? Prayer moves God. We move God through our prayers. Prayer is really a vehicle. You need to start seeing that prayer is a vehicle. It moves and it gets about. You drove a vehicle here, but when it comes to God and the things of heaven, the things of eternity, prayer is that vehicle that you and I maneuver with to go about the things that God talks about and promises us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We know Matthew 6 well, but in verse 9 it says, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. In earth as it is in heaven. There's a whole lot to that I don't even want to get into yet. But it comes to this particular scripture in Matthew 6 that we will probably get into it. But he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, when we quote that prayer, and a lot of churches will quote it repeatedly, what we're saying is, Lord, we want you to layer on the life that we are living everything that you have promised in the heavens. Another way to put it is that we superimpose, which means to layer. God, layer your promises of healing, of blessing, of prosperity over the life that I'm living. All right? So it's saying, Lord, place your promises on me. As in earth, as it is in heaven, right? Just don't let it be something that I can't reach. Matthew 6, as well as Matthew 11, it talks about when you pray, believe. Believe. When you pray, believe. In other words, when it says for you and I, and you hear us say it all the time when we go to prayer, we say, Lord, we believe in your word. When you pray, believe. What's it mean to believe? It means to have expectation and anticipation. How many, when people talk to you, you believe them when they say something? You don't with everybody. There are people that you believe. All right, we hung around family, and there's some family you believe. And there's some family you're like, I don't believe nothing they say. Right? Because it's always sorts to be an exaggeration, a stretch, right? And everything they say, there's no fruit in their life that sort of lines up with that, what it is they're saying. But yet when we pray, even Jesus said in the text we read there in chapter 11, he says, when you pray, believe that you will have it and you will receive it. Believe. He's saying, when you pray, I want you to pray with expectation and anticipation. I want you to expect that it will happen. And then the same anticipation that little kids wake up and run down the stairs and check under the Christmas tree and did this week, they were anticipating there was going to be something there for them. Where is that kind of anticipation in the church? That God is going to hear and answer your prayer. When we go to God in prayer, we need to have that kind of childlike anticipation that he is already at work. and wake up and believe and anticipate that it is already in the works. I'm one of these that I believe that when I pray and I believe God, when I really pray and ask God for something, I don't keep asking. Because I believe this. How many of you know, Sister April, you don't understand what I mean. How we can go to the store and our kids can be like, Mom, 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 and they're pulling at our leg when we're little, and they want our attention because they want something in that daggone checkout line. You know, the dumb stuff, the stuff that by the time you get there, you don't have money for anyway, or you're just like, no, no, it's dumb. We're not getting no tape bubble gum. We're not getting none of this nonsense that we don't need. Now, some of y'all probably say yes, 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 and you don't know the word no. I know what it is to grow up and hear the word no all the time. No, right, Mother? What God wants from you and I is to have an anticipation and excitement, and that we're going to believe that we will receive it, that I don't have to keep asking. A young child, they'll keep at you and keep pulling at your leg, wanting to get your attention. You can block them out and ignore them, but they're going to keep Mom. Mom, Grandma, right? They're going to keep at you until you give in and you cave, right? And you finally say yes. And yet they heard you the first time. My mom often heard me the first time that I yelled her name, but she chose to ignore me. She chose to have selective hearing because she didn't want to have to be bothered or respond to something that was insignificant, right? You and I need to understand that God hears you and I the first time that we ask. But do you expect and anticipate the answer? See, oftentimes we're just praying and we ask, Father, I just thank you that you're going to bless me with this job. You're going to give me favor, but you don't really believe it's going to come to pass because you believe in your ability more than you do God's. Right? We'll go on a job interview and we believe, I got this one in the bag. We prayed. Well, what'd you pray for then if you believe in yourself so much? Right? We need to really understand that our relationship with God, that when we pray, anticipate and expect the result. If you're going to pray about it at night before you go to bed, then wake up expecting the answer. That's what Jesus is saying. Expect an immediate result. Most of the time we don't receive because we don't expect that kind of result. You're expecting this thing to come in the months ahead, right? And it's going to take a year, right? Some of you need a financial miracle, and you don't honestly believe that God can open up the heavens and you get some random check out of nowhere because you've never seen it. You've never seen that happen in your life. But that's the kind of belief and expectation he wants you and I to have. That when you pray, look what he said. He told the disciples, believe that you have received it and you will have it. Wasn't it over the last couple of weeks I told you that you and I need to start decreeing and declaring over our lives that our homes are lying on us, our vehicles are lying on us. It's not the best that God promised. The reason is because I want you to begin to see that God has promised you more and you to begin to think and believe that you deserve more. That the life that we are living is often far below the life that he intended for us. Ain't nothing wrong with the life you're living. It's just God wants more. Think about this. The God that we serve and that we worship and that we praise, who owns everything. Everything, and we're doing without all of that? That's why you and I need to begin to increase our faith. How do you increase your faith? Through prayer. Watching God answer one thing and then another and then another and then another. The reason I have the ability to believe God for literally just about anything is because I've seen him answer so many other things. From the smallest to the biggest. It doesn't intimidate me to ask God to heal someone because I've seen him do it. Doesn't intimidate me to ask God for a specific amount of money because I've asked him and he's exceeded it. Hello. Somebody asked me yesterday, how's the one in 100? I said, good. We're just about there. And he said, we're going to be debt free. I said, yeah, we'll be debt free. We can expand and not have to go in debt. Come on. Why do we have the ability to believe God? Because we've seen him do it before. Some of you need to begin to believe God. You say, oh, I can't believe God for a new car. Then believing for $20. And when you get see God bless you with $20, then believe him for 50 or 100. I'm serious. You have to grow your faith like you do anything else. Don't start asking God for 10,000 if you've never believed him for $50. Right? You have to grow your faith like you grow anything else in this life. We grow our appetites, do we not? My Lord, I've grown mine. We have to grow our faith in the same manner. Start out small with what you have the faith to believe God for, right? And then watch what he'll do. Believe when you pray and you shall have it. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We got to really believe. When we pray, you need to believe this. Whatever you're facing right now, you need to realize it might be heavy for you, but it's a light thing for God. Whatever you're facing, it's heavy for you, but it's a light thing for me. That's why he said in his word that he wants you and I to cast all of our cares on him. Because it's not heavy for him. The reason that prayer is important and it's exciting for me is because it releases me from the having to worry or be in fear or lose sleep. I do not have sleepless nights ever. Now, I just said that. But I'm telling you, this is the truth. I do not lay up and worry ever. Because I take God at his word, Sister Demi. That when he says, cast your care on me, and I do, if I say, God, I'm worried about this, I don't know. God, I'm worried what the outcome's going to be, or God, I'm in pain. I will lay down, I will say, God, I'm in pain, and I need you to release me from this pain, and I will close my eyes, and I will go to sleep. I will not toss and turn on in pain. Why? Because I cast my care on him, and I'm just believing that it's done. I don't lay awake worried about finances or church finances or other people's problems, because your problems, even if I'm praying for you, I can't do anything about it beyond pray. So what's the sense of laying up and worrying? The only reason you and I worry in the first place is because you're not in control. The only reason we worry is because those of us that worry, when I used to worry, it's because I'm a control freak, Geneva. And when God set me free from having to control everything, some of you don't believe that that's true, but it is true. I stopped worrying. Meaning, I didn't have to manipulate and control every circumstance, that I'm just going to believe that he's got it. It is heavy for me. It is difficult for me. Why am I going to lay and torment myself in a sleepless night when God has already promised me, believe, and you shall have it? In other words, believe me when you say it to me and go to sleep. Get some rest and wake up and believe that it'll be there. See, some of y'all will have a brand new year of expectation and anticipation if you can get a hold of that. You're not going to wake up and go to work worn out and tired because you didn't sleep all night. You're not going to be playing around in your mind, what if? Because every time you say, what if this happens or what if this doesn't happen, you're saying the what if God doesn't come through for me? That's not what he said in his word when he says, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. He's saying, I need you to believe that I am who I say that I am. God is not just who he says he is for me and not you. Because the Bible says that he has no respecter of persons, meaning he doesn't look at me and say, well, Adam's isn't quite as good as Diana. So I think I'll hear her over him. Right? He's not looking from the heavens and thinking, oh, that Geneva. Now, we look at people like that. Come on. Some of you know what I mean. We look at Geneva. She's a handful. And we pray for Harley all the time, right? I'm like, God, you really need to surround Harley today. She's in rare form today. But God isn't like me. Right? He's not like me. God says, I'm no respecter of persons. Because God sees Geneva. He says, I created Geneva, and I put breath in her lungs just like I did Harley. So whatever she asks and believes, oh, are you seeing what I'm saying? And whatever Geneva, or whatever Harley asks and believes, they shall have it. because he's no respecter of persons. Oh, come on. We need to stop relying on who we think are the super spiritual people to get us through and realize that you are packing power if you'll just open your mouth and believe. My God. You, all by yourself, in driving in your car down the road, laying in bed, frustrated, tossing and turning. God, help me to get some sleep. Shut your eyes and go to sleep and stop worrying. Believe and you shall have it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a light thing for God. It's a light thing for him. We always like to quote, this is popular in the church. We always like to quote, if you believe when you pray, speak to this mountain and it shall be removed. And if you believe, then you shall receive and have what you say. We've been quoting just part of that, but a lot of Christians really like, speak to the mountain. We like to quote it. But there's a really important principle that we cannot pass up right there in that. Right before it says, if you believe when you pray, speak to the mountain. In chapter 11, Jesus says, my house was designated, or my house shall be called a house of prayer. Uh-huh. We have made church everything else but a place of prayer. It's a cool club. It's a place you can show up early and have some coffee and donuts. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with having friendships in the church. Nothing wrong with us having all the other activities that we do. But Jesus is saying the very first thing the church should be is a house of prayer. You can have your donuts and your coffee, but don't make my house a donut and coffee house. Don't turn my house into a cool place with dark walls and just a few lights and a cool club atmosphere if it's not a house of prayer. Otherwise, he's saying you've made it a den of thieves. What we have done in our culture is we've made church cool, but it's not a place of prayer. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're reacting. God says, I don't want you to make my house anything. In other words, the reason why the church can have a hard time growing is because people don't know it's a place of prayer. It's easy for the community to show up when there's a need if they know that you know where to go to get the answer, where you know how to get them the help that they need. See, Jesus, it's a rebuke. He's saying, before you dare try to speak to this mountain and say, mountain, go from here to there. He said, you better make sure that my house is a house of prayer. Otherwise, it's a den of thieves. Otherwise, it's hollow words. Otherwise, you can speak, ain't nothing going to move. Because it's not a place of prayer. It's empty. And boy, there's a difference. And you can go to a church and know there's nothing happening. They're praying, but ain't nothing happening. It can even be a full crowd and nothing happening. Because this is no joke. I have pastor friends who they have their opening announcement scheduled from 10:30 to 10:32. From 10:32 to 10:42 is worship. From 10:42 to 10:43 and 30 seconds, this is no lie, is offering. And then from this point, and then they have X amount of time for prayer requests. You've got to be out of your mind. In other words, God fit right here in this 2 minute and 30 second window and hear and answer our prayer. The wails and the cries, the Bible even speaks of moanings and groanings in the spirit. Meaning sometimes you and I don't have the strength or the ability to pray. If you ain't never been through something catastrophic, you may not understand that. But if you've ever been devastated by the loss of a person or a thing or an event in your life, you know what it is that you're praying, but ain't nothing coming out. But God says he understands those groans and those cries and those murmurings. That's your spirit crying out. 2 minutes and 30 seconds is not enough time for God to begin to understand what is going on, or even give him an opportunity for him to dispatch angels on my behalf to make it happen. Are you following me? My house shall be called a house of prayer. That's why whenever there is a need in the house, everything should stop. And we come together with prayer and expectation and anticipation that we're going to watch a miracle happen. That we're going to believe God for a supernatural answer. Believe. He said, my house is designated a house of prayer. In other words, he's saying, don't come dragging into church. Oh, you know, like we just did today. We're all like tired. Long couple days. He said, I don't want you come dragging into church. My house is to be called a house of prayer. What is he saying? That when you and I come in with that atmosphere of I'm dragging, is you're not anticipating me to move. Oh, come on. Let's look at it another way. Harley asked Geneva, let's go out on a date night. Ooh-wee. Everybody likes a date night. You can be single and have a date night. You walking through Walmart day and then someone's man comes up and says, hey, I'd like to take you on a date. That would be great, right? Let's say Diana says yes. Let's say Geneva tells Harley yes. That day rolls around and Harley, he comes, are you ready? Is Geneva going to have much anticipation? Well, let's go. I want to get home. Well, you asked me with expectation and excitement. You're like, hey, honey, I want to take you out on a date. That man came up to you at Walmart and was like, my Lord, when God created you, he broke the mold. He was all excited. Then he shows up to pick you up. Come on. Doesn't open the door. Get in. That's exactly how we come to church. So many times. Come on. My God, the Steeler game's going to kick off in, well, bless God, an hour and 12 minutes. Shut up, preacher. No anticipation. And then we're wondering why we're not seeing anything. I'm not saying God's got to take all day. I'm saying if we would just come in and say, God, I'm expecting and believing that you are going to do something extraordinary today. The same way that whenever you get asked out on a date, you're expecting them to act as if you're the only one there, that they're not going to be on their cell phone the whole time while they've asked you to dinner. I've told you, I'll get up and leave the table, and I have. You ask me to dinner, I want your undivided attention. Because I am the most important thing in the world. Because if you're with me, you're the most important thing to me. You need to know you're valued and that whatever's happening on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whoever's texting me, it will wait. In that same manner, God needs to know that he is the most important thing when you come into his house. I mean, after all, you are expecting him to move. So where's your anticipation? Where's your expectation? Oh, yes. Don't come dragging into the house. See, what's happened is we've got church all wrong. We got it all wrong. He said, you need, my house is designated a house of prayer. But what prayer is really, is prayer is you and I fellowshipping with God. We fellowship with everybody else. And spend very little time fellowshipping with him. I mean, just scroll through your phone, all the people you've texted in the last 48 hours. I bet most of the church has spent more time texting people than we have fellowshipping with God. Oh. And yet he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Believe, and you shall have it. And we haven't even asked. Because I've been too busy telling everybody else Merry Christmas, and you forgot the one it was all about in the first place. Oh, Lord. We forgot to say happy birthday, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My Lord Jesus, fellowship with him. We need to have fellowship. Jesus said, my house was designated as a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. What's it mean, a den of thieves? I love this. In other words, he says, my house is supposed to be a place of prayer, and you, the church, you've made it a den of thieves, or what it really means is you've plundered it. You fumbled it. Or, let me put it this way, you've turned it into everything that it's not. Mm-hmm. We've plundered it. We've turned it into something that's fraudulent. How many of you know you, that grew up in the church like I did? Church today doesn't look much like it did. when I was a kid. I mean, it's different. That's what Jesus was warning us about. He said, my house is to be a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. In other words, you've created something fraudulent. It's not real. That the most important thing, the number one thing that the church is supposed to be is a people of prayer. That we know where to go and how to get there to get what it is that we need. That all the other things come, your comfy chairs is secondary. A cool, cute, dark atmosphere, that's secondary. Being on TV is secondary. But number one thing is that we're to be a house of prayer. To be a house of prayer so that we can be a people that are walking testimonies of who He is. Think about this. If people are looking at you to see an image of God, is it fraudulent? People need to be able to look at your and I's life and be able to see blessing and abundance and grace and mercy and forgiveness and all the other things that we know about God. That it's a demonstration through our life. How do we get access to that? Through prayer. Through His house being designated a house of prayer. That we're not something fraudulent. He said, my house is designated. In other words, that's the original purpose. That's the original intention. Not to morph it into anything else. Glory to God. In other words, he said, don't turn my house into a freak show. Don't turn it into something it was never intended to be. Right. We can spend thousands of dollars on a marketing strategy to, you know, grow as a church and to do this and look cute or whatever. But you know what God's church growth strategy is? Prayer. God's church growth strategy is, he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. That's the strategy. Our responsibility is to pray. Pray, pray, pray. We often want the results of prayer, but we don't want prayer. But God wants us to pray. He wants us to be a people of prayer. He doesn't want us to be plundering it. That's why he says that we've created it into a den of thieves. He said, I don't want you to plunder the intention of what my house is supposed to be. Keep prayer the main thing above everything. Watch this. Good Lord. He said, you've made it a den of thieves or you've plundered it. You know what happens if we plunder it? If we make it something fraudulent? If the church, if you and I aren't careful, we don't make sure that we're a people of prayer, that we're designated to be a house of prayer, and the Bible says, for the nations. Now, oftentimes when we hear the word of God say nations, that we're to be a house of prayer for the nations, we think, oh, you know, Africa, China, Australia. But even more specifically, let me break it down to you why it's important that every church be a house of prayer. And not just, we're not speaking of necessarily continents. When the Bible says nations, you know what he really means? The real word is ethnos, which really means different ethnicities. In other words, the reason that real church, the local church, doesn't have an impact is because we're not praying for the ethnicities in our reach. In other words, the reason the church has become so divided is because we don't have a vision for people that don't look like us. Oh. Oh, that's good. That's the reason why most of our churches that we go to look like us. God says, that was never my intention. No, God's intention is diversity. So God wants you and I to be a house of prayer for the nations, that we know what it is to pray for every ethnic group that doesn't look like us, that doesn't talk like us, that it speaks different languages. God wants the church to look like that. Oh. Don't just pray about what you know, but we need to pray for God to give us understanding and that God would open us up to things that are even different than us. Thank you, Jesus. Look what he says in verse 20. of that chapter. He says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now the next day when they came out of Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response to Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. Mm-hmm. This is all in the context of prayer. Now, Jesus was hungry, the Bible says. Everybody in here gets hungry from time to time. Some of you are probably feeling it right about now. Amen. When Jesus went to pick it, the tree had not produced what it was intended to produce. In other words, the tree didn't create what it was created to do. Another way of looking at it is the church often doesn't create or produce what we're created to produce. Remember, he said earlier, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And anytime you and I are not producing what we were created to produce, he'll curse it. The Bible says that it didn't create what it was created to produce, so he cursed it and it withered because it did not fulfill its purpose. Any church that is not going to fulfill its purpose and pray will not have the favor of God. People say, remember when that church used to be? Mm-hmm. Because they lost their purpose. They chose cool over their purpose. They chose programs over anointing. All those things that are important, you know. You can have donuts and coffee. You can have cool things. I don't care about, but make sure the purpose is the same. Make sure that everything is birthed out of a place of prayer. Make sure people know that you care more about their need and about what they're going through than you do the amount they're dropping in the offering plate. Come on. I mean, you know, that's how the church operates and all, but sometimes we feel like that's the only thing that church people are good for. And yet God is saying in his word, no, you need to be, number one, a place of prayer. Why? Because immediately it lets me know that when I'm in trouble and I need something, I know where to go. I know who's going to help me. I know that, not just that, when you and I are a house of prayer, we get the attitude and the personality of who God is, which means I'll let you lean on my shoulder and cry and not push you away like I don't have time to be bothered by you. That's what it is to be a house of prayer. It means that somebody else that has the mind of who God is cares about you. How many of you know that there are some people in our lives, they just shrug you off? It means I don't have to spend time putting it on Facebook because nobody on Facebook really cares anyway. What it is that I know I can go to the house of God, which is a house of prayer, and not only is God going to hear, but the people in that house, if it's a house of prayer, are going to care. They're going to walk with me and hurt with me. Are you starting to hear what I'm saying? Jesus cursed the tree because it was not fulfilling its original purpose. You and I need to make sure that we're fulfilling our created purpose and to be a people of prayer. The purpose of this church is to first and foremost be prayer. It's not food. It's not our distributions. Those are great. Gets a church of a lot of attention. Yeah, you know, all of that. But guess what? The first priority is prayer. All of the things that we do, anybody who's known this church for long enough knows that all the things that we do is a result of the prayer that we've put in over the years. Labored in prayer. Intercessory prayer groups getting together to pray that enables us to do what we do and to believe God for it. Hallelujah. It's all come out of prayer. Our purpose is prayer. Our purpose is prayer. And Jesus cursed that fig tree for not fulfilling its intended purpose. Because if it's not going to fulfill its purpose, it was a waste. It was of no use. In other words, what Jesus is doing for you and I in this text is Jesus is posing the question to the church, why are you doing what you're doing? if you're not going to fulfill your purpose? In other words, why are you going to attend church if you're not going to be a house of prayer? Let me share this with you. We're out of time. The Bible goes on to say, the next day Jesus walked by the same fig tree that is withered and dried up. And Peter says, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. It's almost like Jesus didn't say anything. He ignores him. Because Jesus, when he does answer, in verse 22, Jesus says, answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or the actual original translation is, have the faith of God. Now, that's interesting. Because the translation we're reading says, have faith in God. Having faith in God, believing he's... But really, the original meaning is have the faith of God, which means there's a faith in you that you've not even accessed. If you have the faith of God, imagine this, the faith of God, God being the one who says, let there be light, and there was light. He had enough faith to know that his voice, his words had power. Jesus is saying to you and I that he wants you and I to have the faith of God. That's why he goes on to say that you and I have the ability to say to this mountain, go jump in the lake. The Message translation said, he said, I want you to have the faith of God that whatever obstacle you face will move. Have the faith of God. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, you need to understand what Jesus is teaching us is that Jesus would not tell me to have something that I'm not capable of. See, he's not saying to you, have the faith of God if you're not capable of it. He is letting you and I know that you and I have the ability to have the faith of God. To be able to say to whatever obstacle or thing in your life that isn't working, move. And it will move. In other words, Jesus is reminding each of us who we are, remembering that you are a child of the Most High God. Right? The reason you look like your parents is because you are part of them. And yet the same thing is true about God. He's saying you can have what I say that you can have because you are mine and I am yours. Have faith of God. He's wanting you and I to activate that in our lives. That you and I can have the faith of God. That's why he says, if you say to that mountain and do not doubt. In other words, because when you and I doubt, we separate ourselves from the promise. He says, but if you believe in your heart, which means your mind and your thoughts, he says, you're going to have it. You're going to have it. Don't allow doubt to enter in, because immediately you separate yourself from the promise that you'll have it. You separate yourself from that you will have it. There's so much more to that, even when it comes down to, that's why the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. If you allow doubt to enter your mind, it's not long before it lives in your life. So if you even allow a doubtful thought to enter your mind, it'll come out of your mouth. That's why, in other words, Jesus is saying, hey, don't pray and ask me to heal you, and then all you talk about is how much you're in pain. Because you're canceling out what you just prayed about by what you're confessing. I don't have time to get into where we need to get to. But in other words, life and death is in the power of your tongue. If I'm praying one thing and I'm saying another, which do I believe? If I'm going to talk and if I'm going to pray and say, God, I thank you that you're going to be the God of my prosperity and you're going to help me pay this bill. And then all I talk about is how broke I am. Guess what's going to live in your life? Being broke. Because your praying and your saying need to line up. Meaning I'm going to decree over my life what God says, whether I see it or not. That's what's going to get God to move in on your behalf. That's what allows you and I to then be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there. Because I'm praying and I'm believing. Because I have the faith of God that whatever I say, I shall have it. Does that make sense to you? be more aware as we go into this new year. The reason that I believe that, the reason that I know that our church has been able to, one, have the impact and do all the things that we've done and go where we've gone. And I mean, you know, how many times has KDK been here this year? I'm grateful on that, but how many times can you tell the story? I'm grateful and I'm thankful that they have, but the reason we have the impact and the influence like nobody else is because we pray and we believe in who He is. The reason we're able to acquire other properties and do other things is because we pray and we believe. And whatever I believe, I confess. I don't talk about how broke I am. That's Lois's job. I don't need to worry. My job is not to worry about bills or any of those things. My job is to have vision. Her job is to figure out how to pay them. So I don't worry myself with it. Nor should she be having sleepless nights over the fact that the pastor gets vision for more. She needs to be, she should be, if we're going to be who God called us to be in the Word, pray and believe and go to sleep. Pray and believe and go to sleep. I think, what do we need, 11 more people to make this whole transaction happen? Just 11. Just 11. Think about that. And it's coming. I'm not going to sit here and wring my hands. Oh, God, what if you don't do it? I'm going to look like a liar. Nope. Because, God, that was your word, not my word. So, God, you'll look like the liar, not me. And God is not a liar. That's the reason we have. See, some of you think, boy, he's crazy. We're believing God for such big things. Nope. I just believe in who He is. Take Him at His word. Some of y'all better start trying it. Because you'll be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there. Go jump in the lake. Get out of my way. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray and believe. Because we're going to fulfill our purpose in this place. Believe when you ask God. Because if you believe when you ask God, God will not fail you. God will not fail you. That's why He says, whatever you ask, whatsoever you ask, as much, as great, as long as you ask, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. Because God will not fail you. We're going to have to stop there. We're going to pray and believe God for things today as we close. We're going to believe that the new year is going to bring things that you've longed for and that you've not seen. That then in the new year, we're just days away, that the new year, that you're going to have an understanding of God like you've never had before. Meaning that instead of sending a message or posting it on Facebook what the problem is, you're going to go to Him first. Instead of Facebooking it, I'm going to face it. We're going to go to Him first because I know in whom I believe. We're going to trust in Him. Remember, Jesus says, have the faith of God. Whatever hell hits you tomorrow morning, and there will be hell because you got to go back to work, have the faith of God. And believe when you ask, and you shall receive it. You shall receive it. If you need a new vehicle, believe God. If you say, Lord, I need 20 bucks to put gas in my clunker, believe God. If you're tired of being lonely, listen to me, believe God. But don't fall for the first joker that comes along. Because the enemy is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Watch this. Don't fall for the first one that ask you on a date at Walmart, Diana. Make sure that they look like Him, act like Him, walk like Him, and talk like Him. Some of us have made the mistake, I don't know why I'm saying this, but you end up with the same kind of person over and over again. Stop it. Stop that. And hold out for something better. Believe that you shall have it and you'll receive it. Don't fall for the first one. You know what I've learned? Is anytime you boil, those of you that cook, when you boil, what's that stuff? The dross comes to the top. Impurities. Don't ever pay attention to the first one that shows up. Scoop that out, throw it to the side. The impurities always come up first. And then just wait. Because the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Aha. Prayer. We're going to believe God. Would you stand to your feet? Yes. See, some of you got dating advice today. Some of you learned about praying and believing. We covered a spectrum. This is going to be a year where God's going to expand who He is in your mind as we enter 2022. If you'll dare to believe, He'll show you. We used to sing that song at Dr. House Church, "Dare to Believe, and even mountains will be cast into the sea." So if you'll dare to believe it, He'll show you. And He'll make it clear who He is. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You today. God, we glorify You and we honor You for Your goodness and Your greatness. God, I thank You today for this moment in time and Your word and this place where, God, we can just trust in You. God, where we can just rely on You. God, I thank You for Your word that it lets us and reminds us, God, that when we pray, we need to believe. We need to believe. And so, Father, my prayer today is that, God, as we go throughout this mini-series, and, God, as we begin the new year, that, Lord, we will be a people. And that, Lord, that You would bring this word back to our memory and our remembrance, God, over the next few days. And over the early days of this new year, that, God, we will believe when we pray. And that, God, before I call someone to ask them for their advice, God, before we put on Facebook and ask for someone's advice, that God will come to You first and believe that we shall receive it. So, Father, bring it back to our remembrance. That God, we're going to be a people of prayer, that this house will be a house of prayer. That, Lord, we're not going to be fraudulent. We're not going to be a fake imitation, but that God will be the real thing. That God, as we launch out into the deep waters and we expand our territory in this neighborhood, that God, we're going to believe. And that God, this community will know that we believe when we pray. And that God, they'll come seeking. So God, we thank You and we praise You. God, would You bless every person under the sound of my voice. Bless them. God, make Yourself known in supernatural, expansive ways in this coming year. God, I just pray and I decree and I declare over them that, God, they will know You more expansively and deeper than ever before in this year. That, God, You're going to show them things. That, God, You're going to provide answers that they had only previously dreamed of. But they're going to see living in their life now. And I bless You and I thank You for it. God, today as we leave this place, as people click off the internet, God, we're going to give our tithes and our offerings. God, will You bless it? Will You multiply it? Will You continue to bless this place? Bring increase. Bless the lives of everyone in this place and online. And God, we thank You. Lord, we praise You. God, we give You all the glory and the honor for what You've done and what You're about to do. And we thank You. In Jesus, Your mighty, powerful name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week, everybody.